I want to begin this evening in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. Now, this is John's Gospel. Now, not his epistles, but his Gospels. The sixth chapter. As I said, we're going to look at the story of how God fed his people with manna from heaven in their wanderings through the wilderness. Now, sometimes I feel, don't you, that I am wandering in the wilderness. Don't you feel that way sometimes? That we're on the way from somewhere to somewhere, and as we're passing along the way, there are some things that occur and happen that we don't understand, and that's kind of like, it's very like the wilderness experience the children of Israel had. Now, that's the case, that it is important for us to see how God provided for his children during their wilderness wanderings. And you'll remember that God gave them manna. He fed them manna every day in the wilderness until the day that they entered the land of Canaan. When they entered Canaan land, then the manna stopped, and they ate of the corn of the land of Canaan. But as long as they were wandering in the wilderness and had not obtained the fullness of the promise of Canaan, God had to supernaturally supply for them each day their daily bread, their manna. And in order for us to understand the story is contained in the 16th chapter of Exodus, but in order for us to get what we need to get from it, I need to lay some groundwork here, and that's why I'm in John chapter 6. And we're going to begin to read here in the 31st verse. Jesus is talking here to a large group of religious Jews. And in the 31st verse, the Jews respond to some things that Jesus is saying thusly. Our fathers or our ancestors did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now here Jesus is taking unto himself the identity as the bread of life, and is saying that the manna that came from heaven, that the people are remembering that centuries ago God used to provide for his people, was representative of the true bread which God was going to give from heaven, which would be given to man so that he would never hunger again. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so the manna that came down from heaven is the bread, or the man that came down from heaven is the manna that God had intended to give all along. And the manna that appeared every day in the wilderness is representative or foreshadows the coming of the eternal bread of God, the true bread that comes down from heaven. And so we see the bread that comes from heaven is Jesus. All right, now let's go to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 19, and reading just one verse here, and I want to move us along just a little further. Revelation 19, and reading several verses here, starting with the 11th. And I saw heaven opened, John said, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now who's being described here? What's the man's name? Jesus is the man that's being described. But notice this, what John says about him, and his name is called the Word of God. His name, Jesus, is called the Word of God. Now turn with me to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, and let's look at two verses here. John 1 and 1, and then John 1, 14. First of all, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the 14th verse, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what person is being described here by the name Word? Jesus. Jesus is God, the Word is God, and the Word was made flesh and manifested itself or himself in the person of a man. Now, using those truths that we've just seen, we see that the manna that was given in the wilderness to the Israelites is a foreshadow of Jesus, who is the true bread which was coming from heaven subsequently. And we find in Revelation 19:13 and then in John's Gospel chapter 1 that Jesus and his Word are the same. And so for Christians, the manna that came in the wilderness is representative of the Word of God in our lives. The living Word, Jesus, but more than the living Word, also the Rhema Word of God, the Word of God that we count, that we take from the pages of this book and appropriate into our lives. And when we read the story of the manna, I want you to understand that the reason that that story is important to us is that it represents, there are many parallels between the manna for the Israelites and the Word of God for the today Christian. And with that in mind, let's go to Exodus chapter 16, and let's just take some of those insights. Now, some of these will be, I think, very meaningful to you. Others will simply be repetitive. You already know these truths. That's fine. It's all right for us to be reminded and refreshed in them. There's one truth in particular here, however, that struck me as I was reading through this passage, and it's what got me on this track. Something that I had never seen before, and something that I am in presently experiencing in my own life. And I just felt that I am pressed to share it with you, would like to share it with you, and see if it perhaps would not be of value to you as well. Many years ago, when the Lord called me to the preaching ministry and to the pastorate, he said, "You teach the people what I'm teaching you." And so I've tried the best I know how to be faithful in that. And when he teaches me something, if it's appropriate that it's something for the entire congregation, then I'll make a note of it. And as he brings it to me, then I'll bring it on to you. And so what's happening is you all will be experiencing the same things that I'm experiencing. This is the way the Lord is dealing with us as a church. All right, we're going to begin to read in the first verse of chapter number 16, and as we go along, I'll just stop as we go. We're going to read a good bit of it tonight, and I'll just stop as we go, and we'll comment on it as we see the truths here, the parallels rather. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Now, the setting is that Israel has just been delivered from sin's bondage, from slavery in Egypt. They have been gone for approximately one month. It was on the 14th day of the first month that they had the Passover, and that's when they were the next day expelled from the land. And it was on the 15th day of the second month, which is about a month's period of time has elapsed here. They have crossed the Red Sea. They have watched God destroy their enemies. And now they are proceeding to Sinai, where God had promised Moses that he would come and serve God at Sinai after the children of Israel were delivered. And so here, 30 days after their deliverance. Watch this now. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Now, does it strike you that when people get hungry, they get grouchy? When people don't have enough to eat, they become grumble pusses. I never saw that before. The Lord just opened this up. That when we are hungry for the Word of God, churches and individual Christians that are starving for the Word of God, they will be strivers, they will be murmurers, and they will be grumblers. Well-fed believers generally have a good, even disposition. and pretty generally are able to get along with one another. But when they are hungry, and here was their grumble, they'd gone just 30 days. Now, one of the things that is hard for us to understand is how could a people who had just seen the miraculous deliverance of God, tremendous miracles, probably that no one else had ever seen before that and since then, I don't know, other than the resurrection, of any greater miracles that were done in the presence of people other than the children of Israel in Egypt, the mighty things that God did at the words of Moses. And here, 30 days after they had seen Pharaoh's army destroyed in a sea that God had split for them so that they might go across on dry land, and in 30 days, just because they were hungry, they began to grumble and murmur and backbite and fault find and criticize, and they wanted to tear Moses and Aaron limb from limb. And here they are leading them in the wilderness, and in their hunger, they're grouchy, and they begin to murmur and complain, and they find everything is bad, nothing is right, and they're themselves miserable, they make everybody else miserable. Verse 4, then said the Lord, the same thing happens to us when we do not have the Word of God. When we do not have sufficient Word in us, and when I say sufficient Word, now listen to me very carefully, because one of the things that we're going to see on over here in just a little bit is that the Word that you had last week only does you minimal good this week. For the Word of God is food for our spirit, the same as this manna was food for their bodies. And food that you ate last Sunday is doing you only minimal good this Sunday. If you had not had any food since last Sunday, the body cannot store that for any long periods of time. And unless you eat regularly, daily, as a matter of fact, you're going to be weak and you're going to be hungry, even though you may have pigged out Sunday a week ago. If you haven't had anything today, you're going to be hungry. The same thing is true with the spirit man. You may have pigged out a week ago at a conference. You went to a three-day conference in Nashville, Tennessee, and you OD'd on the Word. But now it's a week later, and you haven't had any since. And so all you got in Nashville at that great convention is not doing you any good today. Now, I'm talking here about the kinds of things that can happen in the lives of, quote, Word people. You see, you can be a Word person. You may have read your Bible through a dozen times. You may be filled up to here and maybe have a closet full of Word tapes in your house, and you've heard all of them multiple times. You've been fairly regular in your attendance at church, and you've heard the Word taught and preached, but you hadn't been there for 3 weeks. And you haven't had any personal Bible time. You can be just as grouchy and just as grumpy and just as big a complainer as the poor person who had never had any of the Word of God. He got born again, and he's been starving ever since. And so the principle here is that absence of the Word in your life will produce a disposition in you, hunger for the Word of God, even though you don't know that's what you're hungering. You don't know that's what you need. You don't understand that's what you want, but all you can do is cry. All you can do is moan, and all you can do is grumble, and all you can do is find fault. And the cure is the Word of God. Hunger for God's Word will make you wretched and will make you hell on wheels and make you very difficult to live with. Now, moms and dads, this applies to children. Kids, this applies to moms and dads. Husbands, it applies to wives, and wives, it applies to husbands. Pastor, it applies to people, and people, it applies to pastor. Are you listening to me? Verse number 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. The first thing I want you to see is that the Lord is the only one who can give us what we need. Only He can supply the food that we need when we are spiritually hungry. It cannot be supplied by another person. It may come through another person, but it cannot be supplied by that person. The source for the satisfaction for our hunger comes from the Lord Himself. We need His Word ministered to us under His anointing, under His power. and for us to get it sifted through someone else, and that's the only way we get it, that is not the most profitable way for us. We must recognize that no matter how many people God has established in our lives as a channels through whom the Word of God comes, that the source of that food, the source of that nourishment, is God Himself. And we must look not to our pastor, not to our Bible study leader, not to the head of our family, but we must look to God Himself as the source of the food, for He is the only one that can supply what we need. The second thing I want you to see in the fourth verse is God said, the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. We need food for our spirit daily. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We eat food for the body every day, and we need food for the spirit every day. God established that He would provide manna every day. The people had to go gather it every day. It was a daily affair. And if you do not make the application of God's Word in your life a daily affair, then you're not walking in a fully nourished condition as far as your spirit is concerned. And it shall come to pass, the Lord told Moses, that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. Now, this is the thing that the Lord has been showing me just in the last 6 weeks. And it's something that has been kind of tickling in my spirit. You understand, to get tickled in your spirit? I don't mean to get tickled funny, but I mean to just kind of have a little scratching going on in your spirit over a long period of time. And it's not that the Lord grabs a hold of it and wrenches it. You just kind of get a little tickle in your spirit. That's something that He's dealing with you about. And one of the things that He was dealing with me about, I did not see until after I yielded to it, and that is the time for bread is the morning. God gave the flesh at night, but He gave the bread in the morning. The time to eat bread is in the morning. Now, I've been a believer that you could eat bread any time during the day, but I'm seeing in my own experience and also in the experience of these Israelites that time for bread is in the morning. And you're going to see in a little bit why the morning is the best time for bread. Now, you can eat bread the rest of the day, but the bread will not be as good the remainder of the day as it is first thing in the morning. Are you listening to me? Amen. The time for bread, note that, is in the morning. Now, we get to another spot here, and I'm zero in on that even a little tighter for you. Notice what He said, I will give in the morning bread to the full. God, when we do it His way, when we come to Him and recognize He's the supplier, He's the source, when we come at His time of the day, how much do we get? We get a full. We get it full. Now, it had been my pattern to get my Bible study in, my Bible reading during the day. I have Bible reading every day, but I would get it kind of as I could. I'd get it rarely in the morning. Usually in the morning, you've got things to do and you've places to be and people expecting you, and so you go on and do that. I would get my Bible reading done maybe over lunch. I'd get it done maybe in the car somewhere. Maybe I'd get it done sitting, waiting for an appointment somewhere. Maybe I would get it done in the evening, all kinds of times during the day. I knew that during the day I had committed myself to a certain discipline of Bible reading. Just, I'm not talking about Bible study now for me. I'm talking about just Bible reading, just time in the Word, getting the bread of God's Word. And I would get it kind of wherever I could. The Lord began to deal with me last fall that I needed to get my bread in the morning. And I needed to set the time aside for it and not squeeze it in between all kinds of other things. And so I made me a resolution. And when I say a resolution, you remember the day, the morning service, this is in December, when the Lord brought a word of prophecy through John Alexander, and he said that day that the Lord was going to require more of us in this coming year. Do you remember that Sunday morning? And I confirmed the word that he spoken, because while we were praising the Lord was dealing with me here on the platform about getting my bread in the morning. About the first thing I did in the morning was get up and get my bread. And then, you know, take care of, then the rest of the day would take care of itself. And as I said, it was something that was scratching me on the inside for a long time. But I never really saw the significance of it or the importance of it until finally, as the Lord was dealing with me, I said, yes, Lord, okay, that's you. I know that's you. No matter what the price, I'm going to do that. And I began to do that at the first of the year. And I can't tell you the difference that it has made in my spiritual food. Now, I get spiritual food from lots of other places. But I have noticed just in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I have noticed a substantial change in the way that God's manna comes to me and the insight that comes out of this word. As he, Murph, bring me your Bible here or pass it up to me. Just give it to me a minute there, right? This is an amplified Bible, and Jerry was showing it to me earlier before the service started. Today, the word of the Lord came once again through Brother John in the service this morning, and one of the things that he said was that in the days ahead that God was going to be opening up truths that we'd never seen before in same scriptures and so on, all of a sudden would become revelation to us, and that it would just be opened up, and it would be like light compared with darkness. And then Jerry showed me the scripture that he had been reading, I guess when he was picking his manna this morning prior to the service, when he was doing his early morning devotions, that he was reading in Isaiah chapter 48. And in this chapter, just listen to this from the Amplified now, because the King James won't be quite as clear. You reading verse 6. You have heard these things foretold. Now you see this fulfillment, and will you not bear witness of it? I show you specified new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known. They are created now, called into being by the prophetic word, and not long ago, and before today you never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. And here is the Lord, this is he's speaking to Jerry this morning along those lines, and then speaking to the congregation today, through the prophetic word, and I'm seeing that occurring in my own life because I've decided to get my bread in the morning. And what I find happening is when I get my bread in the morning, I'm not conscious of having someplace else to be, something else which needs to be done, wondering about, do I have enough time to get this in, reading through it quickly because I know that I've only got a certain amount of time, and I know that I'm expected to be somewhere or somebody is on their way in or this is going on during the day, and it's interference there. It's getting the bread, it's like wolfing down. You know how kids like to do, teenagers like to do? They like to run in the house, they like to grab their supper on the move. They'll take it and pick up the piece of it, you know, and run across here and do something else, you know. They hate to sit down, and it takes mom and dad to say, now listen, if you won't sit down and eat dinner with the family, then it's no din-din. You either sit down and eat it in a normal way, or you don't have any of it. If you don't do that, moms and dads, what will your kids do? They'll pick it on the fly. Well, just give me something, Mom. Fix me something on the way out the door. They grab it and run with it. Isn't that the way they kind of live, teens? Oh, don't they do that anymore? Are you with me? Is anybody still here, or you just kind of leave your shells? And that's the way I remember it anyway. And it's as if our Heavenly Father would say also, now if you want bread and you want it to nourish you, you cannot get it on the fly. You're going to have to set aside some time, and the time to do that is in the morning where nothing else matters except you are eating your spiritual food for the day. And you sit down and you get it, and when you do it that way, do you know what is happening in my life, what I'm seeing? I am getting bread to the full so that I'm satisfied with what I'm getting. And the same passages of scripture that I used to read on the fly, Now I read without anything else going on, and I get a full meal, a full spiritual meal. Perhaps that will be of benefit to you. All right? Let's go to verse 9. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, that ye may know, and ye will know, that I am the Lord your God. One of the things that you will find, as I am finding, even more so, since I've been taking my bread in the morning, and since I've been getting it to the full, one of the things that I see occurring in every other area of life is an increased confirmation of the knowledge that Jesus Christ is really Lord over everything. I don't know how I can put this into words to you, but my day is very much like yours in terms of there are many opportunities for me to doubt. There are many opportunities for me to walk in faith. There are many opportunities for me to disbelieve and not trust in Him. And there are many opportunities for me to rely on Him. I find that as I am getting my fill of bread in the morning, that the remainder of the day is filled with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, no matter what happens. We've had some unusual opportunities here in the last 4 weeks to really go off the edge, you know, go over the edge. But there has been no temptation to do that. And do you know why? The reason is right here in the 12th verse. Now, this ministers to me. Perhaps it will to you. I hope it will. And ye shall be filled with bread in the morning, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now, the knowing, how can I say to you, the knowing that God is God, the knowing that Jesus is Lord, the knowing that nothing else really matters but that, the assurance that during the day, and no matter what we come against during the day, that Jesus is still in charge, He's still on the throne, He's still in control, and it keeps you from going around the bend and responding in an improper way to the negative kinds of situations that occur during your day. I've sensed that in my life just in the last 6 weeks, and I can't tell you what, that is a priceless gift, and it's a priceless revelation. It's a priceless, I wouldn't take anything for it. Now let's continue to read verse 13. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew, the host there means the army of God, the people of God. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground, crystalline sort of thing. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna. Now manna means, what is it? Manna is a Hebrew word that means whatness. And so they didn't know what to name it, so they named it, what is it? And we call it manna. They didn't understand it, did not know what it was. Many times we're in that same situation. We do not understand the mighty and wonderful provision that God has given to us in His Word. We look at it and we think it's just words. But it's not just words. It's life for us. It's the source of life for us. It's by this incorruptible word that we have been born again. And it's by this incorruptible word that we will retain our position in Christ, excuse me, and move on to perfection. And sometimes I think we do the same thing. We call the Bible, what is it? Without really understanding, because we don't understand, we do not appropriate the fullness of what God will do for us in it. For they wist not what it was. The word wist there means knew. They knew not what it was. They'd never seen it before. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. We feed or gather according to our appetite and according to our need. Some of us may feed a couple of verses, some of us may feed a couple of chapters, and some of us may feed a couple of books. But we'll find that those that gathered much had nothing left over, and those that gathered a little had no lack. Let's read on. Every man gathered according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered. Some gathered more, and some gathered less. And when they did mete it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Why is that? Because God knows how much we need. He's supplying. They gathered every man according to his eating. The supply is always sufficient. It is always enough. When you gather bread in the morning, and when you know that it's coming from the Lord, it is always adequate, and it will always fill you. Verse 19, it will fill your need, your spiritual need. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. He was angry. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, two things here. The first one is fairly obvious, and that is you cannot store it up. The word of God that comes into our spirit man cannot be stored in the same way that food cannot be stored for the physical body. It will carry you for a time, but after a period of time, you cannot continue to use it because the principle is you use it up. We burn up the physical energy from physical food, and we burn up the spiritual energy from spiritual food. It is consumed, and so you must eat it again. In the same way that you eat bread every day, you must eat the Word of God every day. And so to get to feed is a daily event. You cannot store it up. We must gather it every day. I failed to gather in the morning on Friday. I had an awful day on Friday. It was a rotten day on Friday. I drove all the way to Norcross on Friday to meet a man who wasn't there. And the day went downhill from there. And I know why. You don't have to hit me over the head. I'm no dupso. I know what went on there. I did not make provision in the morning. I knew what time I had to leave the house. I knew what time I had to be over there in Atlanta and then up in Norcross. And I did not get up early enough to do my eating. And so my day just was, I don't mean it was a disaster. We got a few good things done, but it started off really bad, and it didn't get a whole lot better through the rest of the day. I know why. I figured, I didn't get it this morning, but I'll get it over lunch, or I'll get it this evening when I get home, something. Well, I did get it in the evening, but that didn't help me at 10 o'clock in the morning. You understand? I mean, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was starved spiritually. And just because I got it at night, that didn't help me in the morning. All it did was help me for the next day, see. So, I'm experiencing these things. I see that you can't store it up. Just because I had it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday didn't do me any good on Friday morning because I had not prepared myself with a good breakfast. All the nutritionists say that the most important meal of the day is breakfast. I've never been a breakfast eater. I don't eat breakfast. The reason I don't eat breakfast is I'd rather sleep than eat breakfast. That's the truth of the matter. And breakfast is a waste of time. And because I don't eat breakfast, I don't ever get hungry until 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I eat two meals a day that way. But you can do that spiritually. You just can do that. If you do, you're going to pay the price. And I'm seeing that. I paid it. And I don't intend to pay it again. Now, look at the 21st verse. This is the thing that really got me. And this is what put me on the trail of going through this with you. The 21st verse is so important. Not only the first part, they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. But notice the last part. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, let me explain to you what the Lord is showing me there. When the day gets going and gets heated up, the food's gone. Now, you can go out and try to gather it, But there's too much else going on. The sun of your work, the sun of your family, the heat and the pressure of your day's activities is now caused the spiritual food that was there in the morning to now be gone. So you can sit down at 11 o'clock and try to get it if you want to, but it won't be there anymore. You can spend the time, but you will not get it. You'll read the Word, and you may even notch your sheet, say, well, yeah, I read my four chapters today, or my three books, or my eight verses, or whatever it is you do, but you weren't nourished by it. You did not get the same degree of nourishment after the sun got up and got hot. Now, this is the thing that I'm really observing, that yes, I can do that at noontime, or I can do that in the middle of the morning, or in the middle of the afternoon, or I can do that even in the evening, and I will get something from it. It will sustain me. But I do not get anywhere near the fullness of it as I get first thing in the morning when I know I'm going to do nothing except eat. I'm going to sit down. I'm not going to grab a cinnamon roll or a piece of toast, a cup of coffee, and throw it in the car and go. But I'm going to sit down. I'm going to give this time to God in Bible study and prayer. And this is how my day is going to start. I'm going to get my bread in the morning. I'm going to get it before the sun comes up in my life. I'm going to get it before the heat of the pressures of my job and my ministry and the things that are going on around me. I'm going to get up. Moms will say, well, I've got a house full of kids. What do I do? You got to get up before the sun gets up in your house. Now, if the sun gets up in your house at 7 o'clock, then you're going to have to get up at 6 o'clock to get your bread. If you figure you're going to get it after the kids are gone, you say, well, this would be good. I'll get it after the kids are gone. And they all go off to school and everything is, fine. And now you're going to get it, and you sit down and go to get bread, and then the phone goes to ringing. And then the neighbors are driving by. Or the kids call from, oh, Mommy, I didn't bring my lunch. I left it at the house. And Mommy, I forgot my coat. And Mommy, will you pick up so-and-so? Or can I go over to so-and-so's house after school? Now, how are you going to get that when the sun is shining light? How are you going to get your bread, see? The sun is so hot, and it's melted it all away. And it's just, I grew up on a Pennsylvania farm, and I understand about the dew and how that works. And when you put up hay, you've got to put up hay dry. That means you can't put up hay first thing in the morning because the dew is on the grass. And in the northern climes, the dew is much heavier than it is here. Mostly, we don't know what dew is really like here. We just don't get much of it. But up in the northern climes, you have a much colder night. It gets down here in the summertime, and sometimes doesn't get below 75. You're not going to get any dew. But up there, up north, you'll have an 80-degree day, 85-degree day, but you'll be down in the 50s, perhaps 60 at night, even in the summertime where it cooled down, and then you get a real strong dew. And so you go out and check the hay in the morning. You check it at 9 o'clock, and you check it at 10 o'clock, and you check maybe about 10:30, the dew goes off. So that tells me that you've got to get your bread in the morning before the dew goes off. For when the sun came up, this manna that God had provided had now been evaporated. Does that witness to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? That really nailed me in my spirit that I could not put this off till later in the day. I could try it later in the day, but I would miss everything. It's kind of like chewing on old dry grass instead of getting a good spiritual meal. And the difference is amazing. I mean, it's just, you'd have to try it for yourself. It really is amazing. And I'm not trying to mold you into my image. I'm just instructing you in the things that I am seeing in my own personal life. And it does call for some rearranging of schedules and that sort of thing. But if you're really serious about being spiritually healthy, then at least you'll give this, I think, keen consideration. And so when the day is hot, your man is gone. That you need to start early if you're going to get the benefits of the really good stuff. Somebody said the early bird gets the worm. And I guess we would say that the early Christian gets the manna. The late ones don't get it. And you might want to look with me at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 17 is an interesting verse that impacts on that, especially the last half of the verse. Proverbs 8 and 17. I think one of the principles that is at work here, beloved, is this one. Jesus said, don't have any anxiety about what you're going to wear or eat or put on and all that sort of thing. Unbelievers worry about those things, but your Father knows what you need. He'll take care of you. And in the 33rd verse of chapter 6 of Matthew, it's recorded that Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Oh, I just don't have time. That's the same principle that we struggle with concerning our money. When we seek God first in our finances and give him his portion off the top, then he shows us what to do with the other 90%, doesn't he? When we seek him first with the best of our time, which is first thing in the morning, then he makes the rest of the day that much more profitable for us. When you invest the time with him in the morning, then he sees to it that the rest of the day is more profitable than you could ever make it. This is what I'm experiencing. And here's the principle in Proverbs 8 and 17. You want to read it with me? "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Underline the word "early." For the word "early" comes from a Hebrew word here that means dawn. When you seek me early, when you seek me at dawn, you'll find me. And so if we want God's presence in our lives during the day, the time to seek him is when he may be found. And the time when he may be easiest found is not in the midst of the pressures of the day. The time when God is most easily found is not at the end of the day when you're worn out and hoping you can get into bed. The time to seek the Lord is in the first thing in the morning when you have everything else ahead of you and not behind you. Back to Exodus 16, and let me read 8 or 9 verses here and then make some closing comments, I think, on this passage. Verse 22, "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses." In other words, here was the situation they had previously. They'd gathered 2 days' supply, and it bred worms and stank in their tents. And so now, here it is on the sixth day. This would be Friday. "And they gathered twice as much for the Sabbath day. And the officers over the people came to Moses and said, you know what those dummies did again? They did the same thing that they did earlier in the week, and now they've gathered twice as much, and we're mad at them, and you should be too." And Moses answered them, "This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you'll bake today, and see that which you'll see, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." God had already provided for this. "And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Now, this is what I get from that passage there, for that seems to contradict everything we said about needing it every day and having to gather every day. But let me explain to you something that's happened in my life over a number of years, and perhaps you will relate to this. Early on in my ministry, I was pastoring, but I was also working full time, and the day that I did most of my Bible study in terms of preparation for Sunday services and so on was Saturday. For I had a regular 5-day-a-week job, and I was actively involved in that. And I did spend time during that period of time catching what I could as far as getting the Word of God. But I reserved Saturday for study of the Word and getting together the specific Word that the Lord had for us on Sunday. And then all of a sudden one day, I'm not going to say who, but someone just threw a monkey wrench into my plans. The first thing in the morning, the phone rings, and it's, "Pastor, I need to see you today. It's absolutely essential that I see you. Can I meet you, or will you come by, or can I come by your place, or whatever?" Now, I had that time set aside. That was my time for eating manna. I had to get the manna of God. But now here's something that needs to be done with one of God's people. And so I'll just squeeze it in later in the day. And in those days, it took me, I agonized over every message. I mean, it was hours of real intense. I did not know how to depend upon the Spirit of the Lord. And I studied and I researched and I outlined and I rehearsed and everything to get the Word of the Lord prepared for the services. And so I ministered to this particular person, and it was a period of several hours. And don't you know, before we were finished, there was somebody else there. And it went that way all day long. And now it's late in the evening. I don't have anything. I need some sleep because the next day, Sunday is the busiest day of the week for me. And I didn't have anything for the next day. I mean, my time was all gone. But do you know what God did for me? He saw to it that prior to that day, He knew what I was going to be doing that day. And He had me gather enough bread prior to that day. We had some of the, woo, woo, hallelujah. We had some of the best services that Sunday. And I was so frightened. But there wasn't anything I could do. It just was beyond my capacity to do anything about it. I couldn't do anything. And on that day, the Lord just brought forth the bread that He had fed me early on. And what I understand from that experience, and others like it, it happened not just once, that happened many times, until I finally got the idea that God knows my schedule. He also knows what I have inside me. He knows how much I've gathered, and whether I've gathered just enough for a day or whether I've gathered enough for a couple of days. And so if something comes up in the middle of my very carefully laid out schedule, that this hour I'm going to give to the gathering of manna for today, and something happens that I can't gather it, I get a call and I have to hit an airplane and go out of town, or somebody calls and it's my manna gathering time and I have to take care of that situation, and then the sun comes up, and the first thing you know, I wasn't able to get my manna gathered, and the sun came up and burned it all off. What am I going to do? Go out and have a crying party? No. I'm going to trust that the Lord knew that as long as I'm serving Him and obeying Him and walking in His will, that He will have provided for me the day before or several days before sufficient manna to take care of that day, so that I'm not locked into a bond. Are you listening to me? That it's not a form of bondage to me. Sometimes people can get in a situation where they say, okay, I'm spiritually hungry, that's why I'm such a grump. And so I'm going to take care of that by feeding myself every day. And then one of the kids gets sick, and you're not able to get fed, and because you can't get your food that day, you're a grump because you didn't get your way. Now, what difference is it whether you're grumpy because you're hungry or grumpy because you didn't get your way? And the principle is here that there are days and there are times when you have set the best plans, and you must be careful that the devil doesn't dissuade you from your plans routinely, because he'll try to do that. But there are times when you can't gather for one reason or another, and the Lord will see to it that you have sufficient, so that you're not going to be like this. And on a day when you just, because you weren't able to, you're not going to have to nosedive that day, if you understand, if you get my drift here. So the story of the manna is not just a historical story about a bunch of people in the wilderness that had a supernatural supply from God. The story of the manna is very important to us as well. And I would encourage you, I always told myself that, and I really am more of a night person than I am a day person. Early in the morning is the worst time of the day for me. I mean, it frankly is the worst. Some folks just bounce out of bed. They just can't hardly wait for the daylight to come. They think that every new day when the sun comes up, that they have to beat the rooster out. And they just love those early mornings, you know, hop out of bed. Well, early mornings, I like to grab the covers up a little tighter, you know, and just kind of snooze away some of those. If you want to know the truth, that's the best time of the day for me in terms of staying in the bed. That's the best sleep. The very best sleep is when you wake up early and don't have to get up. You go back in and buy a few more pieces of wood there. But so it's a genuine sacrifice to make that time to get up in order to collect the bread. And the reason I'm doing it is not because I want to, but because I see that is the only time to get the best that there is. And I think it's worth that. And so I'm going to adjust my schedule to accommodate God's. One of the things that I've learned about Him over the years is that he does not adjust his ways or his schedule to me. His ways are higher than my ways. And I can figure out all these reasons why I am a certain way and why he ought to be a certain way, but he just never responds to that. He just never changes. He's always the same. And whether I'm a night person or a day person, it just doesn't seem to make any difference to him. He's a morning person. As a matter of fact, I guess the Bible says that he never slumbers or sleeps. Maybe that's why it's so easy for him to do it at 7:30 in the morning or 6:30 or whatever time is, you know, is your early morning. 7:30 for me is right early in the morning, because most days we don't finish up until about 11 o'clock. And so that's an early part of the day for me. That your day might be half gone at 7:30. I don't know what your schedule is. But I think this is beneficial to me, and perhaps it will be to you as well. And the Lord just take this and minister it to your hearts and show you that portion of it that you really need for yourself. The key thing I want you to see tonight is that we do need spiritual food for our spirits every day. And the optimum time to get it is first thing in the morning. And what I'm talking about doing here is I'm talking about your own personal spiritual food. I'm not talking primarily here about what you're feeding to your family or what you're feeding to anybody else. One of the things that I have to deal with, since I'm a pastor and a shepherd, my primary function is to feed the flock. And one of the things that I have to be very careful about is that I don't spend my time in the Word just preparing food for you. I have to get it for myself, and I have to have time set aside for that. And then I take other time to prepare the food for you. You understand what I mean? Yeah. I can't get along personally unless I have this personal nourishment. Then I'm prepared to gather other food and to prepare it and get it ready, fix it up and cook it and so on, and make it ready for the, you know, for the church at large. And it's something that I'm continuing to learn as we go along. My spiritual health, my own personal spiritual health, is the most important thing in my life, for without that, I am no good to anybody, least of all the Lord. And the same principle applies for you. Would you like to stand?